वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः
रीडिङ्ग् फ्रम् श्रीमद् भागवतम् कैण्टु 11 चाप्टर् 3 एण्टैटल्ड् लिबरेशन् फ्रम् इल्यूशरी एनर्जी टेक्स्ट् नम्बर् 26
श्रद्धां भागवते शास्त्रे अनिन्दामन्यत्र चापि मनोवाक्कर्मदण्डं च सत्यं शमदमावपि श्रद्धां भागवते शास्त्रे अनिन्दामन्यत्र चापि मनोवाक्कर्मदण्डं च सत्यं शमदमावपि श्रद्धां भागवते शास्त्रे अनिन्दामन्यत्र चापि मनोवाक्कर्मदण्डं च सत्यं शमदमावपि श्रद्धां भागवते शास्त्रे चापि मनोवाक्कर्मदण्डं च सत्यं शमदमावपि
माताजीस्
दण्डं च सत्यं शमदमावपि
वर्ड् टु वर्ड् ट्रान्स्लेशन् श्रद्धां फेयित् भागवते रिलेटेड् टु द सुप्रीम् लार्ड् शास्त्रे इन् स्क्रिप्चर् अनिन्दाम् नाट् ब्लास्फेमिङ्ग् अन्यत्र अदर्स् च आल्सो अपि हि इण्डीड् मनः आफ् द मैण्ड् वाक् स्पीच् कर्म अण्ड् वन्स् एक्टिविटीस् दण्डम् स्ट्रिक्ट् कण्ट्रोल् च अण्ड् सत्यम् ट्रूथ्फुल्नेस् शम
self-control of the mind, damau, and of the external senses, api, also, translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, one should have firm faith that he will achieve all success in life by following those scriptures that describe the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. At the same time, one should avoid blaspheming other scriptures. One should rigidly control his mind, speech, and bodily activities, always speak the truth, and bring the mind and the senses under full control.
So I'll read the purport from where we left yesterday. Srila Madhvacharya has quoted the following statement from the Brahmanda Purana. One should have complete faith in transcendental literature such as Srimad Bhagavatam and other literature that directly glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should also have faith in Vaishnava Tantras, the original Vedas, and Mahabharata, which includes Bhagavad Gita and which is considered the fifth Veda. The Vedic knowledge originally emanated from the breathing of Vishnu, and Vedic literature has been compiled in literary form by Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of Vishnu. Therefore, Lord Vishnu should be understood to be the personal speaker of all this Vedic literature. There are other Vedic literatures called Kala Vidya, which give instructions in material arts and sciences. Since all such Vedic arts and sciences are ultimately intended to be used to render devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Keshava, saintly persons in the renounced order of life should never blaspheme such apparently mundane literatures, because such literatures are indirectly connected with the Supreme Lord. One may go to hell for blaspheming these secondary literatures. Shraddha indicates a faithful mentality, which can be analyzed in two sections. The first type of faith is a firm conviction that all the statements of the multifarious Vedic literatures are true. In other words, the understanding that Vedic knowledge in general is infallible is called Shraddha or faith. A second type of faith is the belief that one must personally carry out a particular injunction of Vedic literature in order to achieve his goal of life. A devotee of the Supreme Lord should thus apply the first type of faith to the various Kala Vidyas or Vedic material arts and sciences, but he should not accept such scriptures as pointing out his personal goal of life. Nor should he carry out any Vedic injunction that is contradictory to the injunctions of Vaishnava scriptures such as the Pancharatra. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So today we are continuing this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Prabuddha is actually giving his instructions to Nimi Maharaj on how to actually get out of the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. So
So in this particular instruction, in this series of verses, Prabuddha is describing the different duties of a disciple, especially from 22nd to 32nd verse. And in this particular verse, he gives few instructions. The particular purport we are reading, that is especially focused on one particular instruction. So here Prabuddha is saying that Shraddham Bhagavate Shastre, one should have firm faith in the Vaishnava scriptures or the Bhagavata, the scriptures which describe the Bhagavad Dharma, devotional service of the Supreme Lord. And Anindam Anyatra Chapihi. At the same time, one should not blaspheme or criticize other Vedic scriptures. And then, Manuva Karma Dandam Cha. One should control the mind, words, and the senses. Satyam Shamadamavapi. One should speak the truth. And in this way, one should bring the mind and senses under full control. So, we find, it is explained that Shraddham Bhagavate Shastre, Srila Prabhupada quotes in the purport, what is the actually meaning of Shraddha? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami explains that Shraddha Sabde Vishwas Kahe Sudrida Nishche Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Krita Hai. Means that simply by serving Krishna, everything else is accomplished. To have this particular faith is called as Shraddha. So Shraddha, Shivaram Maharaj explains in his book, he says that pure faith has got two qualities. One is exclusive dedication to Krishna and complete dependence on Krishna. So exclusive dedication to Krishna, that means that simply by serving Krishna, all the devatas will also be satisfied. To have this particular faith is called as exclusive dedication to Krishna. And complete dependence on Krishna means that by serving Krishna, even my needs will also be taken care of. And these two aspects of the pure faith are actually described in this particular verse. Yata taror mula nishechinena tripyanti tatskanda bhujopashaka pranopaharacha etendriyana tataiva sarvarghana machyuteja. Means that just by watering the root of the tree, all the parts of the tree get nourished. And by feeding the stomach, that all the other limbs of the body which are used to feed the stomach, they also get nourished. So the first analogy, by watering the root of the tree, all the parts of the tree get nourished, that refers to that how by serving Krishna, all the devatas will also be satisfied. And by feeding the stomach, all the even the hands and legs will also be nourished. That refers to the other aspect of complete dependence on Krishna. So this is the definition of faith which is given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the Bhagavad Gita also we find in the various verses in the Gita, Krishna especially two qualities which he actually emphasizes repeatedly in many verses. One is that faith and another is non-enviousness. Like there are many verses in the Gita, for example, third chapter he says, Yeme matam idam nityam anutishtanti manava shraddhavanto anasuyanto muchyante tepi karmabhi. So one who has faith in this particular instruction of mine and one who is not envious of this particular instruction, which refers to the previous verse, it is Mayi Sarvani Karmani Sanyas Adhyatma Chetasa Nirashir Nirmama Bodhva Yudhyasva Vigata Jvara. Means one should perform all one's activities as an offering of devotion to me. So Krishna is emphasizing that one who has faith in this instruction, even if a person is not able to carry out this instruction, but at least if he is not resentful of this principle of dedicating everything for me, then also one will attain perfection. Like sometimes a person is not able to follow certain things, but at least he is not resentful of the, he is not resentful towards the principle of doing everything for the pleasure of Krishna. Even if a person has that attitude, Krishna says that one will actually eventually attain perfection. And various other places, for example, in the 9th chapter, Krishna says, Ashraddhadana Purusha Dharmasyasya Parantapa Aprapyamam Nivartante Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. Ashraddhadana Purusha, one who is faithless, Dharmasyasya Parantapa, such a person will actually, he will have to simply transmigrate in the cycle of birth and death. He will not be aprapyamam nivartante. He will not be able to attain me. On the other hand, mrityu samsara vartmani. He will simply transmigrate in the cycle of birth and death. In that way, we find that various places, even in the 18th chapter, at the end of the Gita, he says that, Shraddhavan anasuyascha, shrunume paramam vachaha. One who hears this particular conversation between me and Arjuna with faith and without envy, such a person, he will actually attain the spiritual world. Sopi mukta subal lokan prapnuyat punya karmana. In that sense, we find that these two qualities have been emphasized by Krishna again and again. In the case of Krishna, even if a person is less intelligent, but if he is sincere and faithful, so Krishna is willing to give the intelligence by which a person can come to him. Krishna says, Dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Tesham sadada yuktanam bhajatam priti purukam. If a person actually renders service to me constantly and with love, that means in order to render something, render service to Krishna constantly and with a favorable attitude, one should have the faith. That means, like Krishna is saying, if a person is having faith, if a person is sincere, then I am ready to give the intelligence by which he can come to me. So he never makes the intelligence as a criteria, but on the other hand, he does not say that if a person is actually intelligent, but if he does not have the faith, I will give the faith to him. No, Krishna expects that we develop that faith. And essentially, when we say that the spiritual master, when a person comes in contact with the bona fide spiritual master, the spiritual master plants the bhakti lata bija in the heart of a living entity. So that bhakti lata bija is nothing but that faith in the devotional service to Krishna. So that is what that bhakti lata bija. So, and in this purport, it's also explained that Vishnu, the Hridayananda Maharaj also quotes these verses in regards to Manova Kaya Dandam. I'll just go through the previous yesterday's purport also. In that section, Prabhupada's Vishnu Chakotaku says that one should rigidly abandon all sinful activities with his mind, speech, and body. And as Srila Prabhupada has repeatedly pointed out, sense control does not mean stopping sensory activities and thus becoming like a dead body, but rather engaging one's mental, vocal and bodily activities in the service of Krishna. And he quotes this Rupa Goswami's verse, Iha yasya harer dasya karmana manasa gira nikilasya pyavastasu jivan muktasa uchyate. Means if a person engages his body, mind and words in the service of the Lord, even while living in this world, he is considered actually a jivan mukta. He is considered a liberated soul. Like in this regard, we find that the best example of a devotee is that one who engages all his body, mind, and words in the service of the Lord. But sometimes, like there are exceptions, like for exceptions in the form of say, like Bhishma Dev, or Vritrasur, or Akrura, these are exceptions. They had given their heart to Krishna, but their body was engaged in the service of demoniac people. The Bhishma Dev was engaged in the service of the Kauravas, Vritrasur was engaged in the service of the demons, and Akrura was carrying out the order of Kamsa. So the ideal example is one who actually engages with all his body, mind and words in the service of the Lord. But sometimes in the material world, may put a situation where a devotee, although his heart is engaged in the service of the Lord, but his body may be engaged in the service of, to different degrees, in the service of adharma, or the people who are supporting adharma. And, but of course, Prabhupada explains in the first canto purport that Krishna wanted to teach a lesson. Even if a great personality like Bhishma Dev, if he is engaged in the service of adharma, he will not be spared. He will get the reaction. And that is what Krishna wanted to teach through the life of Bhishma Dev. I was reading a book on Mahabharata. It's a very beautiful section just connecting to Bhishma Dev. Just before the battle of Kurukshetra, there was a conversation between Bhishma and Krishna. So Bhishma Dev was completely, he was in a dilemma whether to join the Pandavas, whether to join the Kauravas, because he had taken a vow that he will always support the kingdom of Hastinapur. But he knew that the Dharma is in the side of the Pandavas. So he was in a great dilemma. That time Krishna comes and there is a dialogue between Bhishma and Krishna. And Bhishma was of the impression that throughout my life, that I have been impartial. But Krishna was questioning the various decisions made by Bhishma Dev. So Krishna was questioning one particular decision made by Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev, for the sake of his father Shantanu Maharaj, Bhishma Dev actually took a vow that I will never get married and I will not actually become the king of Hastinapur. Because when he understood that his father wanted to marry Satyavati, who is the daughter of a fisherwoman, but the Satyavati's father put a condition that I will give my daughter in marriage provided that the son through my daughter will become the king. So Shantanu Maharaj was not ready to accept that condition, but Bhishma Dev came to know that, and at that time Bhishma Dev took a vow. So he, in one sense, Bhishma Dev, it is a selfless act that where he actually renounced the pleasures, he took the vow of a brahmacharya, he even renounced his kingdom for the sake of his father. But Krishna was questioning Bhishma Dev. Krishna is saying that you have taken this vow of celibacy, or you have renounced the kingdom, but for what purpose? To facilitate the sense gratification of one person. You had a greater responsibility towards the whole kingdom. You are supposed to become the king and you have the responsibility towards the whole kingdom. You are supposed to serve the whole citizens. But you are giving up a greater responsibility for actually facilitating the sense gratification of one person. How do you think that is a good decision? In fact, Chanakya Pandit says that for the sake of a village, for the sake of a betterment of a family, one can sacrifice one person in the family. For the sake of a village, one can sacrifice maybe one family, which is actually not beneficial for the atmosphere of the village. Or for the sake of a country, one can actually sacrifice one village. So for a greater responsibility, we can actually give up one smaller unit of the particular, say, village or country, etc. But for a smaller unit, when we actually give up the greater responsibility, that is not actually a right decision. So Bhishma Dev, from his point of view, he thought that it is selfless, but Krishna is actually questioning him. What kind of a decision is it? So by that selflessness, Bhishma Dev earned the pleasure of his father. He pleased his father, but actually he displeased the Supreme Lord. Because he gave up the responsibility towards the whole kingdom. On the other hand, we find another example of Maharaj Yadu. When Yayati Maharaj, he also wanted to, like Shantanu Maharaj, when Yayati was cursed by Shukracharya that you will become an old man, but Yayati actually, his desires to enjoy his wife, it was not fulfilled. So Yayati was in a great dilemma that my desires have not been fulfilled, and he told Shukracharya that you have given me such a curse, and then is there any way by which I can come out of the curse? Then Shukracharya said, Shukracharya understanding that even his wife will also be in a this curse will not be good. This curse will not be good even for his own daughter, because his daughter is married to Yayati. So Shukracharya realized. Then he said that okay, you can actually exchange your old age with the youth of one of your sons. So that time Yayati started asking each of his sons, "Can you please give your youth in exchange of my old age?" But his sons actually refused to especially some of the sons refused to give their youth because they wanted to enjoy their youth. But on the other hand, there is this one particular son, Yadu, he also refused to give his youth. But in the case of Yadu, he refused to give his youth not because that he actually wanted to enjoy his youth or he had a desire to enjoy sense gratification. But the reason was that Yadu knew that in future the Supreme Lord is going to appear in my dynasty. Supreme Lord is going to appear in my dynasty. If I actually give my youth to my father, then how will I be able to facilitate the service of the appear? How will I be able to facilitate the appearance of the Supreme Lord in my dynasty? It will get delayed. So he didn't want to delay the service of the Supreme Lord. For the sake of not delaying the service of the Supreme Lord, he actually he did not give his youth to his father. He did not exchange his youth with his father. In fact, in the Gita, Krishna explains one of the austerity of the body. Deva Dvijaguru Prajna Pujanam Shaucham Arjavam Brahmacharyam Ahimsacha Shariram Tapa Uchyate. Krishna says that one of the austerity of the body consists of respecting the superiors, the brahmanas, the devatas, and also one's father and mother, brahmacharyam, non-violence, etc. So in one sense, following the orders of the father is actually one of the austerity of the body. But here, Yadu is not obeying the orders of his father. By not obeying the orders of the father, he actually ends up displeasing Yadu. He ends up displeasing his father Yayati, and Yayati actually pronounces a curse upon Yadu that neither you or any of the people in your dynasty will not be able to become king. Something like that, he gives a curse. So he displeases his father, but on the other hand, he ends up pleasing the Supreme Lord. And that is why Parishit Maharaj begins the 10th canto by saying, Yadoshcha dharma shilasya nitaram munisattama tatram shena avatirnasya vishnor viryani shamsana. He says that Yadu is a dharma shila. Yadoshcha dharma shilasya, please actually describe the Supreme Lord Krishna's pastimes in great detail, who appeared in the dynasty of Maharaj Yadu, who is a great dharmashila. So in one sense, not obeying the order of the father, he should be called as adharmashila. But Parishit Maharaj understands that this person Yadu, for the sake of the service of the Supreme Lord, he apparently acted like as if he is selfish. He wanted to enjoy his youth. He didn't give his youth to his father as if like he is selfish. But actually that is for the purpose of not delaying the appearance of the Supreme Lord. So we can see this contrast between Bhishma Dev and Yadu, that Bhishma Dev gave up a greater responsibility for facilitating the sense gratification of one person. By that he pleased that one person, but he ended up displeasing the Supreme Lord. On the other hand, Maharaj Yadu, by not facilitating the sense gratification of one person, his father, he got the curse of his father, but he ended up pleasing the Supreme Lord. In fact, in the Queen Kunti's prayers also, Queen Kunti says, Queen Kunti is saying that Krishna appeared just to please the pious kings like Maharaj Yadu. So Maharaj Yadu is actually very dear to Krishna. So therefore, yeah, the ideal example of a devotee is that one who engages body, mind and words all in the service of Krishna. But there are certain exceptions where a person's body is engaged in the service of the Lord, but the heart is given to somebody else. That's what Bhishma Dev, Vritrasura, Krura. And another thing which is quoted in the purport is that Yesham Twantagatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam. So these verses is quoted in regards to the point that because the verse says that Manova Karma Dandam Cha, one should actually control one's body, mind and words. And one should be truthful, shamadamavapi, one should control the external and internal senses. So, we can find that in this verse of the Gita, Yesham Twantagatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmana, that means only those who are actually freed from the sinful reactions, they can perform bhakti with determination. Bhajante Mam Dridavrata. So, yeah, many people, anybody can practice bhakti, but to practice bhakti consistently with determination, yeah, that is possible. That very much depends on purity of lifestyle also. Because to the extent the lifestyle is connected with the sins, to the extent lifestyle is connected with the more towards the lower modes, passion and ignorance, or towards the adharmic things, so it creates an obstacle for actually practicing bhakti with determination. So that is why many times, sometimes people, they are just focused on their, say, chanting of the 16 rounds. But actually, yeah, chanting of the holy names is the most important process. When Sarvam Bhattacharya asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is the most important of all the processes, Mahaprabhu said, chanting of the holy names. But that chanting of the holy names, it very much depends on what we do in the rest of the time also. As one class going through us mentioning that, even the toothpaste which we use is connected with our chanting 16 rounds. In the sense that, that whatever we do throughout our day, to the extent it is connected with the lower modes or to the extent it is connected with the maybe something adharmic or sinful, it has an influence on the practicing bhakti with the determination. So that is why, one place, I think the 8th canto, Prabhupada writes that, he explains that agriculture and cow protection are the ways to become sinless and thus become attracted to Krishna bhakti. And then he quotes the same verse, Yesham Twantagatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmana. Of course, we cannot be idealistic that especially living in a city or living in Kali Yuga, there will be definitely many activities will be connected to different degrees to adharmic thing. But in Kali Yuga is a age where you can actually, where the choice is between that which is 40% bad and that which is 60% bad. That is the choice in Kali Yuga. But at least within that choice we can make, at least the choice is not between good and bad, sinful and pious, is more between actually that which is less sinful and that which is more sinful. And so that is another verse which is quoted in the purport. And then in this section of the purport, especially Madhvacharya is quoting this verse, yeah, one should have complete faith in the transcendental literature such as Srimad Bhagavatam. But at the same time, one should not actually blaspheme the other Vedic scriptures. Anindam anyatra chapihi. So we find this particular theme is also very important. For example, right in the Bhagavad Gita, I think 3rd chapter, 1st verse, when Arjuna says that, why do you want to engage me in this ghastly warfare? So there, in that purport, Prabhupada says that Arjuna, he was giving Krishna consciousness as an excuse for not doing his kshatriya duties. So there are people go into different extremes. One extreme is that one becomes very much caught up in the this worldly duties and completely neglects the Bhagavad Dharma. So when people are just caught up in like in the mood of just doing their this worldly duty, then the Bhagavatam says that Dharma Swanishrita Pumsam Vishvaksena Katasuya Na Utpadayit Etiratim Shrama Yevahi Kevalam. That even if a person performs all one's duties perfectly, if a person has not developed attraction for hearing and chanting, what is the use? It is all a useless labor. So these verses are directed towards those people who are just absorbed in their this worldly duties and completely forget their ultimate goal of life. And on the other hand, there's another extreme where a person, in the name of absorption or in the name of actually performing only devotional service, one wants to actually escape the this worldly duties. That is what in one sense the example of Arjuna is. Arjuna, he didn't want to, he was giving like, he didn't want to fight the battle because he felt like, how can I fight with Bhishma and Drona? But I was reading again, one thing which comes to my mind. Arjuna was giving to, there was a conversation between Arjuna and Lord Krishna before the day when Bhishma was killed in the Mahabharata. It's a very beautiful conversation where Arjuna is recollecting to, telling to Krishna, he's saying that actually you cannot neglect the feelings of a person. Because every human being has a particular feeling, you cannot neglect the feelings. You please try to understand my feelings towards Bhishma Dev, saying that when, like, we lost our father when we were small kids. Pandu Maharaj died when we were small kids. Then we were previously living in the forest and then we came to Hastinapur. And we came to Hastinapur, like, Bhishma Dev was the person was actually, who showed so much of affection towards us. I would be playing in the dust, and then when I would be playing in the dust, and then when you come back to the palace, Bhishma Dev, he had so much of affection towards me, without caring that, by embracing me, that his body would be filled with the dust. And Bhishma Dev showed so much of affection, without caring that his body would be filled with the dust by embracing me. In fact, I was calling Bhishma Dev as my father. And when I grew up little, at one point Bhishma Dev reminded that actually, my child, do not call me as a father. Your father is Pandu and he has actually left his body. I am your grandfather. So like that, Bhishma Dev reminded. So Arjuna is saying that he showed so much of affection towards us. In fact, in Hastinapur, other Kauravas and other people are so much envious, but Bhishma Dev showed so much of affection, how can I actually kill that Bhishma Dev? So that is why Arjuna says that, Katam Bhishmam Aham Sankhe Dronam Cha Madhusudana Ishubhi Pratiyatsyami Puja Arha Varisudana. So they are supposed to be, Bhishma and Drona, they are supposed to be worthy of worship by offering flowers. So how can I fight actually, how can I actually shoot arrows towards them? So that time Krishna gives such a beautiful answer. So Krishna says that actually life is like a painting. So in a painting, you have actually many different colors in a painting. With many different colors, like suppose somebody is painting some particular scenery, so many different colors are used. But what you are doing is that you are painting, you are focusing only one aspect of Bhishma Dev. That means you are only focusing on, like, you are actually, how Bhishma Dev showed affection towards you. But you are not actually seeing the other aspects of Bhishma Dev, how Bhishma Dev did not say a single word when Draupadi was being disrobed in that assembly. Vidura also left, Vidura left from that assembly, but Bhishma Dev did not leave that assembly. And Bhishma Dev was a, he actually divided the kingdom, which is also against dharma. So Krishna started actually telling about the other aspects of Bhishma Dev. So we can find, so then Arjuna actually came to his senses. So Krishna was telling that you are just focusing on one aspect of Bhishma Dev. Like every person has different aspects. Just by focusing on one particular aspect, you cannot give a complete conclusion. You cannot come to a complete conclusion. So because Bhishma Dev is supporting Adharma, he is supporting the Kauravas who are on the side of Adharma. So they, Bhishma and Drona, they failed from their qualification being the superior or a guru. So Prabhupada also mentioned this point in the, I think 2.6 purport in the Bhagavad Gita. The point is that Arjuna was giving Krishna consciousness as an excuse for not doing a Kshatriya Dharma, because Arjuna was thinking that how can I actually fighting with Drona and Bhishma Dev? It is very difficult for me. I cannot actually fight with them. He wanted to avoid that actually fighting with them, although it is a Kshatriya Dharma, by giving Krishna consciousness as an excuse. So this is another aspect of isolated Dharma. That is why Krishna spoke the Gita, that Krishna eventually said that Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha. You remember me and fight the battle. You remember me and fight the battle. So therefore, that we have to actually balance our eternal dharma with the duties of this world. We have to perform the duties of this world as an offering to Krishna, in devotion to Krishna. And whenever they are actually unfavorable, whenever they are unfavorable for the practice of bhakti, then at that time we actually give up those duties. And in the same way, in the same mood also this verse comes, because sometimes a person may just become caught up in the certain lower scriptures which actually propagate karma kanda or jnana kanda, and they neglect the highest scriptures which talk about the Bhagavad Dharma. Like for example, Krishna again says in the Gita, Yamimam Pushpitam Vacham Pravadantyavi Paschita Vedavada Rata Partha Nanyat Astiti Vadinaha. So those who are Vedavada Rata, they consider those sections of the Vedas, the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, which talk about going to heavenly planets as the all in all. They are attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas. Flowery words, why it is called as flowery words of the Vedas? One of the reason is that Vedic scriptures, like in a tree, Vedas are like a tree. From a tree comes the flower and then comes the fruit. So flower is an intermediate product of the tree, and fruit is the ultimate product of the tree. So similarly, the going to heaven is only an intermediate destination or intermediate thing which the Vedas are offering. The ultimate thing which the Vedas propose is that getting out of the material world. But the Vedavada Ratas, they are attracted to they are just absorbed the intermediate result, and they are not aware of the ultimate thing which the Vedas are offering. In that sense also, it is mentioned that they are attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas. They are just attracted to those words of the Vedas which talk about the enjoyment in this particular world, how to make this world comfortable, and they forget, they are not aware of the Bhagavata Dharma portion of the Vedas, which talk about getting out of this world, engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord eternally. So this is one extreme. And another extreme is that sometimes in the name of Bhagavad Dharma, in the name of having faith in this Srimad Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrit, one may actually criticize the other Vedic scriptures. So that is also another extreme. In fact, all the Vedas are actually nothing but the words of Lord Vishnu. They are the breathing of Vishnu. So just because we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrit, we have no right to criticize the other scriptures. We have no right to criticize other scriptures. So that is highlighted over here. Like for example, like even Bhakti Rasam Sindhu Rupa Goswami says that one should not disrespect the other devatas. Worship Krishna, but do not disrespect the other devatas. Respect other devatas also. Similarly, one should have firm faith in the Bhagavad Dharma, but one should actually respect the other scriptures, and one can learn about especially the this worldly dharmas, how to lead a particular lifestyle in this world while living in this world from the other scriptures like Mahabharata, Ramayana, other Puranas, etc. So that is an important thing. And when we talk about other scriptures, it refers to other Vedic scriptures. Like for example, in the conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chand Ghazi, in the Adilila Chaitanya Charitamrita, so Chand Ghazi is actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling to Chand Ghazi that the cow and the bull are the mother and father of every living entity. Because everyone drinks the milk of a cow. It is not that the cow is the mother of only the Hindus, or it is not the mother of other people. Everyone drinks the milk of a cow. So cow is the mother of everyone. Bull is the father of everyone. But how can your religion talk about actually killing of the father, mother and father? So Prabhupada writes in that purport that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is accusing the religion of Chand Ghazi to be the religion of patricide and matricide, which encourages the killing of the father and the mother. And when we read that purport, when we read the section, it is very clearly mentioned. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is clearly saying that your scriptures are filled with illusion and many faults. Even Chand Ghazi actually accepts it. And Prabhupada writes there, the scriptures of the Yavanas are three in number. What are the three? You can refer to the purport. So, say they are three in number, and those three scriptures, they are actually man-made scriptures. They are not actually God-made scriptures. They are man-made scriptures. Whenever something is made by man, it is actually subjected to the faults. So that is why there is a old version and a new version. Like, have you ever found that the Bhagavad Gita old version, Bhagavad Gita new version? No, the verses of the Gita have remained the same. The commentaries and the purports, that may change according to the time, place and circumstance, maybe different language may be used, etc. But the verses of the scriptures, they never change in the Vedic scriptures, because they are the words of God. But when they are man-made scriptures, so they do change, old version, new version, etc. But when you put the man-made scriptures in the same pedestal as the Vedic scriptures, which are actually words of God, then that is a very serious mistake. In fact, in the Kaviraj Goswami explains the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would never tolerate Rasabhas and Apasiddhanta. He would not tolerate even little bit Rasabhas and Apasiddhanta. So therefore, before any work is being presented to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar Goswami would actually examine that work, whether some Rasabhas or Apasiddhanta is present in that work, before actually giving to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So of course, that pastime comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But one example of Rasabhas or Apasiddhanta, which is mentioned in the purport itself, is bringing God to the level of man, or elevating man to the level of God. Like once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became angry with Kamala Kanta Vishwas. So Kamala Kanta Vishwas, he said that Advaita Acharya is the supreme personality of Godhead, but he has a debt towards the king. And then he asked the king that please relieve the debt of Advaita Acharya towards you. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so angry. If you are calling Advaita Acharya the Supreme Lord, well, he is the proprietor and controller of everything, and how can you say that he has debt towards the king? Well, you are bringing the Supreme Lord to the level of a human. So similarly, so when we make the man-made scriptures on the same pedestal as the Vedic scriptures, it is a very serious mistake. It will not be tolerated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or any true follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore, that But in the case of Vedic scriptures, even if some Purana is coming in the mode of ignorance, there are Puranas in mode of passion, mode of goodness, mode of ignorance. But even the Puranas in mode of ignorance, they are ultimately the words of the Supreme Lord. They cannot be criticized. They are part of the unified plan of the Supreme Lord to gradually elevate a person from the different modes to the higher modes and ultimately to actually elevate a person to a transcendental platform. So any part of Vedic literature cannot be the subject matter for criticism. And Krishna is explaining that Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna, that you actually rise above the three Veda. He's not telling to actually criticize the Vedas. He is saying that most of the Vedas talk about the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, because just before that verse comes that Yamimam Pushpitam Vajam Pravadanti Avipashchitaha. The Karmakanda section of the Vedas talk about going to heaven. So Krishna is telling that you rise above this Karmakanda section of the Vedas, you focus on the ultimate purpose of the Vedas, and you transcend the Karmakanda and the Jnanakanda. So, but he is not criticizing the other portion of the Vedas. In fact, this is also mentioned in the 11th canto, 29th chapter, last verse, at the end of the Uddhava Gita. Shukadeva Goswami says that Krishna presented the essence of the Vedic wisdom like a honeybee. He says that just like a honeybee extracts the essence of a flower. Honeybee extracts the essence of the flower, it extracts the nectar from the flower, but without actually disrupting the other inferior parts of the flower. Similarly, Krishna presented the essence of the Vedic wisdom without actually, without disturbing the elaborate, other inferior parts which are mentioned in the scriptures. So there is a gradual path mentioned in the scriptures, that is like from Karmakanda to Jnanakanda, Sakama Karma Yoga, Nishkama Karma Yoga, then Jnana Yoga, Dhyana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. This is like a gradual path. And there is a direct path which is like the directly taking to bhakti. So when Krishna in the Uddhava Gita or in the Bhagavad Gita, he presents the direct path of bhakti yoga, but without actually disturbing the other inferior parts mentioned in the Vedic scriptures. Therefore, the mood is that, when we have faith in the Bhagavad Dharma, that does not mean that you criticize the other Vedic scriptures. Other Vedic scriptures are presented by Vyasadeva, which are presented by the great sages. But it does not refer to the scriptures of the Yavanas, which are actually filled with faults and illusions. Which are actually nothing but man-made scriptures, putting the man-made scriptures on the same pedestal as the God-made scriptures, it is in one sense elevating a man to the level of a God, or bringing God to the level of a human being. So, which should definitely be avoided. So, these are some points I wanted to share. Anybody would like to add any comments? Granthana Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.